We're in chapter 26 of the Yeris Akosher, it's found on page 549, 550 on the bottom numbers, Kufmem base on the top numbers, which is 283. This is a letter, which it's a hard letter because of what the Alter Rebbe is explaining a section in Raya Mehemna. So the whole first page is a straight quote. It's straight Aramaic. Okay, I'm gonna break my teeth on it. Actually, I wish they would have it. Like, what's the provenance behind these? Like, why did the Rebbe send these out? The next one, there is. The next two, where there's all kinds. Everybody knows what those are, but this one, I don't know why. Don't know why it was sent.
Honey.
Okay, so he says, "B'raya mehemna parshas nasei." It says in that, that's a footnote. "V'hamaskilin yazhir kizayah harakia." That those people who are wise intellectuals will shine like the splendor of the heaven. So this is we're not just waxing eloquent over here. I don't think Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was into just poetry or platitudes,
right.
You know, these type of things. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he compiled the Zohar, did specifically use a New York Times English rather than a common vernacular, like say in Gemara or in Mishnah, that the idea being that in Gemara and Mishnah, they wanted the rabbis, the Rabbanim wanted people to know what the halacha was. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to discourage people from just opening up a Zohar and, you know, lying on a couch Shabbos afternoon and falling asleep with it on your chest. Yeah. So the Zohar was written for an elite group, and therefore the Aramaic in it is very hard. So, but now, he's not waxing poetic, so he says now that it is Yazhira Kizayar Rakia, that they shine like the splendor of the firmament. So it says that on the second day, Hashem created the Rakia. Okay, so what that entails is the first day, so Hashem created Ur. On the second day, so Hashem created space. But the space is not as the indication of space, meaning something which is void of anything. But on the contrary, the space is actually what defines what something is. You have, I'll give you for example. You have a Sefer Torah. The letters of the Sefer Torah are what's referred to as have to be mukaf gvil. Every letter has to be completely and absolutely surrounded by parchment. Gvil means parchment. Okay, so you can't have two letters touching, even just if you have a little bit on the top of a letter and a little on the bottom of a letter from the top of the line above that, if they touch it, it's absolutely no good. Every letter has to be totally and completely surrounded by space. It's interesting to note that actually, this is one of those debate things, those epistemological debates. What determines the shape of the letter is not the ink. What determines the shape of the letter is the space. Because it's, if you look at it, it says it's described in the Gemara that the Torah is white fire, black fire written on white fire.
Right.
Okay, so black fire. What is, you know, what's this black fire, white fire? What is you know? So it says we talk about when we say in the morning brachas. Not morning brachas. When we start Birchas Kriya Shema, Yetzer Or Uvarech Hashach.
Yes.
Okay. Our custom is, I don't know if everybody does it around the world. You can tell me if they do. Is when we say Yetzer Or, we touch the Shel Rosh, and Baruch Hashach, we touch the Shel Yad.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the deal over there? What are we supposed to do?
You meant the other way around.
No.
Look at my hand, not at my face. Yeah.
No, we say that.
Michel Yad and Michel Roche.
Right. Yes, right. Correct.
I said Michel Roche and put my hand on my bicep, and Michel Yad and put my head between my hands. Yes.
But we do say the latter part on the.
Yes. Okay. So why is it that we do it that way? What's the deal over here? I don't know if you walked into, say, like the Liquid Cola and asked them why you did that. What their answer would be. But the idea of Yetzira, which is the world of formation, so there's light. Light means revelation, you could appreciate it. Bria, well, Choshech, is something which is dark, you don't appreciate it. Okay, so but in actuality, so what's the difference between Yetzira and Bria? Yetzira, just to say the word form, if you're going to form something, what that means is you took a glob and you pushed it into a shape. So you took a something and you made it something that looked something else. But essentially, it's still the same thing. When you say Bria, so Bria means a creation. Bria always means it's a something from nothing. Because what was before Bria? There was only a Lakus beforehand. But now, so there's something that has a Metzias. You're giving it some kind of a somethingness to it. But that somethingness is still beyond our ability to comprehend, our ability to pick up onto, our conscious, our cognition, whatever it is. So therefore, we term it Choshech. Really, what it is that the Choshech is a light which is beyond our appreciation. And you can understand that there must be, we have this spectrum of light that goes from ultraviolet to ultra-red, right? Okay? But there's levels of light that we just can't, those are things that we can't see ultraviolet anyway. I mean, you know, we have, what is it called? What's the abbreviation? Blue, orange, red, BO-REG, GO, or something like that. I don't know,
visible light.
Yeah, for visible lights. Okay? So that we know that there is, if that's your spectrum, but if you could go just a little bit frequency just on each way, there's also frequencies there, but we just can't pick up on them. And what do we call that? We would call that dark. Okay? Because how is a color determined? A color is, what happens is that light hits the thing, and then the light bounces off the thing, and hits our retina. Well, all of the frequencies of light bounce off the thing, except for the things that the levels of the frequencies of light that get absorbed into the thing. So what's coming back to us is all of the frequencies of light minus the ones that get absorbed. Okay, so therefore, when we see colors, what we're seeing are those things that we can appreciate that's bouncing in our brain, can process it and say, oh, this is light that's coming back, it's minus a certain specific frequency, and therefore I'm going to call this color that. Okay, but when it's dark, your brain's not doing any of that. Okay,
it's all absorbed.
Yeah, it's all absorbed. So the... you know, even remember black light posters? Danny, are you young enough to remember black light posters? Okay. Yeah, it's like, hey man, look at the colors.
Whoa.
You know, whoa. And, you know, so because the light was all totally, completely absorbed in them. So the nature then of the space is actually what, so back to the Sefer Torah. So the ink is analogous of Bria. What brings it into revelation and makes it usable is that when it comes down to Yetzir, the form of the letter is formed by the white part. That's the Yetzir Or.
Yeah.
That's the lower level of revelation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okay? So then it's the same thing also with the first day, the second day. So the second day, there's this light. Okay? The second day, so you have space. But the space is not void of light, it's just it's a higher expression, you might say. So he says, the Ihu Sefer HaZohar, okay, so it says that this is, HaZohar Rekia, Bahai Chabura Dilach, in this book, the Ihu Sefer HaZohar, that this is the book of Kotzdon of the Zohar, means Zahara De'ema Ilah, that it is shining from the higher level of of Ema, of Mother, which that's Bina. Mother Bina is called the higher mother, in that the emotions are all drawn from Bina, from understanding. And we've talked about this before, is that you don't have a feeling towards anything unless you can understand what it is. Remember talking about such a thing, I hope? Yeah?
Been a while.
Okay, so like the example I give is if you have a Japanese automotive engineer comes in for the annual SAE convention, mm-hmm. and he arrives at the airport, it's kind of late, it's like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and he gets into a cab and he tells the driver he wants to go to the automotive show. He wants to go to, you know, he's got this thing over here. The driver doesn't speak Japanese, his English isn't so good. So between the two of them, he winds up at Fenkel and Livernois at 11 o'clock at night. Okay, he says, here you go, buddy. Pay up the $40. The guy pays him the $40. He gets out. What emotion is this Japanese engineer going to feel?
Fear.
Nope. Not at all.
No?
Nope.
What do you think?
He's going to feel confusion.
Oh, okay.
Like, where am I? Where's the auto show? He has no idea. Now, if we were to take your wife and drop her off there at 11 o'clock at night, then you're talking fear.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they know. You have to know. You have to understand what it is in order to have the emotion. That's why it says that Bina is the supernal mother.
Yeah, for sure.
Bina is the higher mother. The higher mother would imply a lower mother. Yeah, okay, that's Malchus. We're not talking about that yet. But Tshuva Be'ilan Leitzarach Nisingon. And so what it says over there in the Zohar about Teshuvah, or the, we even say that the book of the Zohar is Teshuvah, and it doesn't need to be tested. The Asid in Yisrael Latama Elina Dechaya, about that, by the way, that the Zohar is an expression of Teshuvah. There is a story about a student of the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai was a sage in Baghdad who lived around the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, I believe. I don't remember the student's name. In the story where it's written, it writes what his name was, but Ben Ish Chai's got it. He had a name. He had wrote a book. Everybody knows about the student. I don't remember. There was a person who was possessed by a dybbuk in Baghdad. Okay, and this person, I don't remember the details of it, but it was like really, it wasn't pretty. Okay, so they called in the rabbi, who's the student of the Ben Ish Chai, and this dybbuk just kind of like laughed and said, "Ha, I could take on your Rebbe. I mean, who are you?" You know, so it turned out that this dybbuk was actually the soul of Shabtai Tzvi.
Oy.
And because Shabtai Tzvi had been refused to be allowed into Gehenna. That's generally when it talks about what a dybbuk is, it's usually some kind of troubled neshama that doesn't have any tikkun, because like for Shabtai Tzvi it was so big, because what happens once the neshama is allowed to go into Gehenna is only a transitory thing, it gets cleansed, and then it's allowed to go into Gan Eden.
Yes. Right.
They were not going to allow Shabtai Tzvi into Gan Eden. Okay, so
into Gehenna.
They weren't going to, for sure not Gan Eden. Right, and so therefore Gehenna is a preparation for, they're not going to, we know this with the story with Elisha ben Avuya, with Acher, by his grave, there was black smoke coming out of his grave until Rabbi Meir prayed, and the smoke turned white, and then finally the smoke went away, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so as the story goes, so they tied this person down to a bed, and this rabbi just began reading the Zohar. Mm-hmm. It's all without explaining it. He just began reading it. And after a period of time, he was able, through reading the Zohar, to get the neshama of Shabtai Tzvi to do tshuva.
Wow.
Okay, that's the power of the Zohar. Okay, that's what we call it. The Zohar itself is teshuva. Okay? It's a very powerful thing, which is why the Shimon Bar Yochai didn't necessarily want it to just be a casual course of Shabbos afternoon after the Cholent.
Mm.
So he says, now what does it say over there? Begain dasidin yisrael l'tayma ilina dechaya. In the future, the Jewish people are going to taste from the tree of life. We know that after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, so it says that there was a cherub, a charuv, with v'shalufei lav over there, with a circle, a spinning sword, keeping the way from the tree of life, because you're not allowed to taste from the tree of life. But it says that when Mashiach comes, so we're going to live forever. How do you live forever? Why is it that Hashem didn't want anybody to go by to the Eitz HaChayim? It's because they'll have das and won't die.
Right.
Okay, it'll get really nasty over there if that can be the case.
Mm.
So he says, but what is the tree of life? The Iuhai Sefer Zohar. That tree of life is the Zohar. Yafkain bay min galusa berachamim, and the Zohar is what's going to redeem us from this galus and with mercy. Okay, so you might then ask, how come if the Alter Rebbe is writing this, is there no set study for learning Zohar among Chabad, that we should be able to finish it in a timely fashion, like we do, say, Chomesh Tilim Tanya Rambam, Hayaimya, a Gemara. You know, we're supposed to learn a Gemara once a year, too. You know, go through at least one Masechta a year. So, but there's no set study for Zohar. Okay, in the Chayenu and the Devar Malchus, they have all kinds of things over there. I think I haven't been a while since I picked up a Devar Malchus. But I think they have Daf Yomi in there now, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And they have like a little bit from this Rebbe and from that Rebbe and a little bit from Shulchan Aruch and a little good, but they don't have a piece of Zohar. Okay, it was never encouraged by the Rebbes to study Zohar. Okay, which is too bad, because then I would have to study it on a regular basis. That would be really cool. I just study it casually at this point when I have time on long Shabbos afternoons. You know, so that hasn't really done me too well. So, but anyway, but it says that in general, so it's not that, I mean, from looking at Inyan Shel Teres HaChassidus, from the essence of Chassidus, the purpose of Chassidus is not to explain Kabbalistic concepts. It's to give a life to the Torah and into Yiddishkeit. And if Kabbalistic concept is necessary in order to achieve that goal, so okay, we throw in a Kabbalistic concept. Okay, so now there are some very somebody must understand them. There's some pretty heavy duty stuff over there. Okay, it's always, if someone asks you, is this hard? Says it's only hard if you don't know how to do it. Okay, is playing the piano hard? Yeah, you never learned how.
Right.
Okay, is learning Hebrew hard? Not until you learn it. Okay, it's the same thing with everything. Everything is hard until you learn how to do it, and then it's not hard anymore. Okay, so the study of these concepts, even though a person may say, "Oh, I understand, I got it," you know, I can talk to you about it, Tzilus, from today until tomorrow, hasn't got a clue what Tzilus is. When Mashiach comes, so it says that people will go, aha, okay, now I got what it's talking about. So Chassidus is called Mashiach's aha. Okay, you've heard that before?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I probably said it over here. V'yizkayim b'hayin Hashem b'dar yechnei, through this will be realized that Hashem alone is going to lead them, meaning us. And there's no strange God with him. And the tree of good and evil that this is, forbidden and permitted and impure and pure, will no longer rule on the Jewish people. He's going to say what that means over here. So he says, what was the result of the tree of good and knowledge, eating from the tree of Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, knowledge between good and evil? So now things became evil. Before there was a knowledge of what's good and bad, there's no such thing as bad, because we didn't know about it. So therefore, out of Adam, but when he was first created, so what did he have? I mean, you know, so he had, don't eat from the tree, and be fruitful and multiply. Because anything else, it would never occur to him. Okay, when a two-year-old does something wrong, is the two-year-old bad? No, the two-year-old doesn't know.
Not cognizant.
Yeah, he doesn't know. So it wasn't that Adam was stupid. He just didn't know about good and bad. Comes now that he ate from the fruit, so suddenly he realizes, oh, there's things I could do and there's things I can't do. So the fact that there are prohibitions and things that we should not get involved with is a result of Eitz Hadas. And we know this, that when Mashiach comes, for example, it was already prophesied, Vahave Ruach Atuma Min Ha'aretz, that the spirit of impurity will be wiped away from the earth, and there'll be no longer an awareness of what's good and bad, because bad won't exist anymore. Does that mean that those things which were bad won't exist? No, they just won't be bad anymore.
They won't have klipa.
There won't be klipa. Exactly.
There'll be no God. All klipa no God.
But what?
There'll be no God, or... The whole concept goes away of klipa.
The whole concept of klipa goes away. Everything will be kedusha. Okay, that's what it says. The pig is called the chazir because when Mashiach comes, it'll chozer. It'll go back to being a kosher animal. The only deal is that when it gets to that point, we're not going to be eating anyway. We're going to be getting our nourishment straight from Hashem. It's all one of those little catches, you know.
Wait so for that part.
We're not going to be munching on BLTs anytime soon. Yeah. I got news for you.
Don't be worried about the bacon.
Yep. The haparnasa de lahin loy lahavi ela mesitra de ilina de chaya. That what's going to happen when Mashiach comes is our parnasa, our sustenance will come straight from the tree of life. The leis taman lo kushir mesitra de ra. That there, kasha, there's not even a little trace of evil there, v'loy machalakis meruach hatuma, and is no part given to the spirit of purity as its impurity to exceed as ruach hatuma avimina aretz, as it says, the spirit of impurity will be wiped away from the earth. V'loy yafayis in tamei tachami me'ameratzim, that scholars will no longer require to be sustained by the masses.
Right.
Okay, lubavishers will no longer need to fundraise. But rather we get it straight. So now what's the deal over here? This is the way interesting he puts it over. This is the Zohar talking. So you have the masses, and the masses are engaged in working. And then you have the scholars, and what are they engaged in? They're engaged in learning. Okay? It's very difficult to actually sit and make money while you're learning. Mm. You know, it's not exactly necessarily a sellable commodity. Right. You know, you can't have a clearance. Tanya, on clearance this week only. Right. No, it doesn't. It just doesn't do it.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, those people who are trying. So the Torah is called the Tree of Life. Eitz Chaim Hilamach Zikin Ba. It's a tree of life for those who find strength in it, who grab onto it. So therefore, they are in need of support. And where is the support coming from? Those people who are not attached to the Eitz Chaim. Because if they were attached to the Eitz Chaim, they'd also need support. So these are people who are therefore under the rulership of the Eitz Hadas. And he calls them the Ame Harasim, which doesn't mean ignorant people, it just means the masses of people. That those are people who are making money, and the whole idea of needing to go to work is an also expression of Eitz Hadas. Because what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? So we're told, Ish tachas gafna, ish tachas te'enai. What are we going to do? You'll sit under your grapevine, you'll sit under your fig tree, and you'll be basking over there in divinity. And you're not going to have to, there's no malacha that needs to be going to do, because Birur is going to be done. All the purification that the world needs is going to be complete, so there's no need to work anymore. So those people, those Amar HaRatzim, so those people who now are under the dominion of needing to work. And if they need to work, so Hashem therefore says, you know what? They'll work, and they'll sustain those people that aren't. The Talmid HaChachamim. Elam Sitra. So it says when Mashiach comes, so the Talmid HaChachamim are not going to need to go raise funds. Avir min ha'ar. Wait a minute, I just skipped a line. Ella mesitra de tev da achlin tahira kosher reheter v'loy ma'ariv rav da achlin tumah pasul v'aser. And it says that we'll be automatically, what we'll be eating are things that are kosher and permitted and impure, and not like the mixed multitude, which mixed multitude over here does not refer to the column of converts that came out from Egypt against Hashem's better judgment, and Moshe can cajole them too. But it means, ma'arev means to mix in. Rav means all this, the multiplicity, which klippa is called Rishus HaRabim, for example. So the klippa is mixed in with that. The achlin tumah pasul v'asur, that they eat things which are impure, things which are unfit, things which are prohibited. Okay, so there was, by the first Kines HaShluchim, this was before I was a shliach, it was 1984, I was just married, before I got out of shlichus. So the first Kines HaShluchim, so they had this, there were 40 shluchim, 60 shluchim, I don't know how many there were from America, and they got together and they were talking about establishing official policy. Mm. Okay, and what they determined was, the outcome of this meeting of determining official policy was that you can't determine an official policy because everything depends on what's going on over here. Moshe Herson, who's in New Jersey, proposed that as Lubavitchers, you should not have a person on your board of directors who's married to a non-Jewish person. Okay? So Sherman Yeshua Ben Yamin Gordon stood up, Allah Shalom, and said, you just killed my entire board. Because right. In California, that's what am I supposed to do? Exactly. Everybody, you know.
Everybody, yeah.
we've got a tremendous, you know, New Jersey, okay, fine. It's the Alta Haim. People are still, you know, Jews are marrying Jews. But in right. the Valley in 1984,
it says
you killed my board.
Yeah, exactly.
So the ideal thing would be to only take money from kosher sources as far as that goes. People who are in this meet a certain criteria for being able to give money to us. But we see there's going to be situations where it's not. There's actually a whole big discussion about accepting sizable donations in Chabad houses, for example, from non-Jews.
Right.
Yeah. How would it look if it had, like, you know, the Henry McCoy Chabad, you know, Memorial Chabad house? And it's just, it doesn't.
Donald Trump house.
Yeah, the Donald Trump house. Yes, thank you very much.
It was an issue in '85. I'll tell you that much.
What happened in 1985?
Down in Texas, none of the Noahs down there. Rabbi Dabrowski wouldn't take money
from them.
Right, he wouldn't take money from them.
Uh huh. Okay.
It had to be filtered hither and yon, pillar post. It meant if it ever got to them. But yeah, it was an issue.
Yeah. So, ubezman de Alina de Tevera shalta ba'ina and chachamim de damein l'shabasas v'yamta v'leis lahain ella madi yahavin lain ina cholin kigayatz. It's a very long sentence. Let me go back and break it up. Okay, so and the time. Now that we now find ourselves in the time of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's what's ruling now. That's the primary force now. Mm. So these chachamim, who are compared to Shabbos and Yontif, okay, leis lahain, they have nothing of their own, except ma diyahavdin lahain inan chulin, what these mundane people are given. So that this person, you can imagine, if it is that a person spends 7 days Shabbos, so how is he supposed to make a living? So he's saying, a person sits and learns all day, it's like he's keeping Shabbos and Yontif.
Hmm.
You know, it's a very interesting thing. It says at the beginning of the chapter in Shulchan Aruch, the reason why Muksa was established by the Chachamim. And it says for those people, it says the Yoshve Krana is what it says over there, the street corner standard sitters that don't work a whole week, and that they should know that there's something different about Shabbos. Okay? So on the Karen, it could also be a basic Knesset, by the way. Those people who are sitting on the corner could also be sitting in a study hall. Because if a guy is sitting and studying the whole day, every single day, so what's the difference him Shabbos any other day? He'll just do whatever he does every week.
Right.
Okay, the Alter Rebbe recognized this, and it says that when the Alter Rebbe was in jail, he only had one suit of clothing. They didn't let him bring stuff with him.
Right.
So it says he had a handkerchief, and he tore the handkerchief in half, and during the week he wore one half of the handkerchief, and on Shabbos he wore the other half of the handkerchief. That was his, how he knew that, that was his, the covered Shabbos Kodesh, that he wore the Shabbos half of the handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, for example, on Shabbos, if you're going to eat on Shabbos, there's only one way to eat on Shabbos. And that's if you prepare on Friday. That's what it says, that the Rebbe used to quote it all the time. The only people who eat are those who toil on Friday. But when the tree of life will dominate, then what will happen is the tree of knowledge of good and evil will be sublimated, will be subjugated, and will be overpassed. And what the Talmid, what the Amei Haaretz, what the masses will have, will only be that which the Talmid HaChamim are giving them. He alluded to this, and this is actually going on now, just that we don't necessarily see it. When Mashiach comes, we'll see, as like I said, you know, I can say let's back up, I remember three things now. My mind is going too quick. So when Mashiach comes, so everybody gets to come, right? All Jews. Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Elam Haba. So if that be the case, then what do I have to do anything for? I am guaranteed I'm going to be there when Mashiach comes. So I'm not going to do mitzvahs, I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to daven, I'm not going to give tzedakah, I'm not going to do anything. And you know what? Mashiach will come, I'll be there too. So it says, yeah, okay, that is true actually, but there's a big difference if you're sitting ringside, if you're sitting in the third bleachers. And that's what it'll be, the difference between a person who's actively engaged in participating in Yiddishkeit gets a ringside seat, and the person who says, so they're up in the nosebleed seats. You're in the game, you're watching the game, but it's a whole different experience, ringside. So, I remember the other two things, that was just a prep to what I wanted to say after that. Before that, the number two thing I wanted to say. He mentioned back in Tanya, in chapter 2, that this is going on now. This idea that Chayas is coming through the Talmud Chachamim down to the masses, because it says over there, we'll understand now what it says on the verse to cleave to Hashem, that the Gemara says that anybody who attaches themselves to a Talmud Chacham, Hashem considers it as though he's attached to Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the chayis, which is coming down to the individual, is coming down through the Talmid Chachamim. And then he says over there, and those people who rebel or haven't got any connection with the Talmid Chacham, so they get secondary godliness coming through the Talmid Chacham. But the Talmid Chacham, so you have the first, you have the Tzadik Yisod Olam, which is talked about in chapter 1 of Tanya, the person who is the tzaddik, who is the foundation of the earth, of the world, that he's the one that the world is revolving for. The godliness comes into the world through him. That's called the Nasi Hador, the leader of the Jewish people of that generation. And from him, it disseminates to his students, disciples, and other tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it distills down all the way down to the unwashed masses. Okay, so that is going on right now as far as that's concerned. So what's this different than that? If it's happening now, so what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? So what happens now is we're engaged in like an Orchoiser. There's actually, this is a point of debate, whether when Mashiach comes, it'll be Or Yosher, it'll be Orchoiser. So I've seen it both ways, whether the light's coming back or whether it's refracted and reflected up with greater force. So this is now what happens is that the Chayas is coming through the Talmid HaChamim, it comes down to the masses, and then the masses support the Talmid HaChamim. It sort of like bounces back at them. Whereas when Mashiach comes, you're not going to get the bounce back, because the Tzaddikim, the Talmid HaChamim, are not going to need the physical support anymore. They will be able to drive their nurture from the godliness that's coming straight to them first. But now, the godliness comes to them first, and they can't really do anything with it specifically except pass it on to the next levels down. And then when the next levels down get it, they can give back in order to sustain the tzaddikim. That's what's happening now. So we'll cut out that middle process when Mashiach comes. So it says that the masses will be given to them from the Talmid HaChamim, Viskafi and Tachtayin. And the masses will be subjugated to the scholars. V'lohai ba'alma, and as if they're not in the world at all. V'hachi iser v'heter tuma v'tara lo yis'aver mama harasim. And the whole concepts, and these concepts of forbidden and permitted and impure and pure, will no longer pass from the masses. The Mesitroya lays bain galusali amaisa Mashiach elashivin malchus bilvad. As it says in the Mishnah, that the only difference between now and when Mashiach comes is what's referred to as shibud malchus, and I'll explain that in 1 second. The inin leitaimim ein ledechayet zorach lein masnisin beisr vehetar tuma vetara adkan baraya mehemna. And where did I start reading? Ela Avin Malchut Bilvad, the Enan Lightime of Me'ilah, that they did not taste from the tree of life, and they will need to be taught what's permitted, what's permitted, what's forbidden, etc., and all the laws of impurity, etc. Adkan Lashonia Sarayim Mehemna. This is where the Rayim Mehemna ends. So back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says there's no difference between now and when Mashiach comes, except for the expression is Shibud Malchus. Shibud Malchus is translated who's in charge.
Right.
Okay. Now the nations of the world are in charge. The world is run by white males. White European males, or who is running the world now. When Mashiach comes, the world will be run by Jews. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That's the simple shot in the Mishnah. The word Shibud Malchus means the enslavement of Malchus. So what does that mean according to the Kabbalah? Right now, Malchus, which is determined as to be the Shekhinah, is enslaved in Gullus. And because Malchus is enslaved in Gullus, therefore you have, it's not perfect, and therefore you have things that are forbidden, permitted, impure, pasul, etc. Comes along Mashiach, and what will happen? Mashiach will free Malchus from the Shibud, will release Malchus from the indenturement, thus by allowing it to affect full force. And at that point, then there will be no longer anything which will be forbidden, invalid, unfit, impure. Because the revelation of the divine presence at that point
eliminates it.
Will eliminate it.
Right.
It'll just disappear. It won't be, right. that's the expression. Va'ava ruach hatumah min ha'aretz doesn't mean that the spirit of impurity will be swept away from the earth. Doesn't mean that there's going to be atomic bombs or neuron bombs. That it's going to come and all the Jews are going to get stuck in a mountain someplace on the inside, and then there's going to be the whole Armageddon, and the radiation is going to just wipe off everything off the face of the earth, and then we wait for the rest for the 70 years, and then the radiation dissipates, and then we come out and it's all flowers. Yeah, neck like a tug. That's not what it means.
Thank God.
Okay, that's the vibrato of very poorly written science fiction stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so the Havar Ruach HaTumah means that as soon as Mashiach comes and releases the divinity which is stuck in Gullus, so then that automatically causes the non-existence of, or let's put it this way, it cuts off the Chayas too. All those things which are forbidden, in all those categories. And then those things, it cuts it off from their root and from their source. And when you cut things off from their root and their source, they disappear.
Perish, yeah.
And so it's not going to be that something has to be done to get rid of Klippa. Something has to be undone.
Hmm.
We get Hashem out of Gullus and Klippa is gone. It happens, it's an automatic response to it. This is where the end of the Zohar is. So next week, God willing, we will now explain it. This goes on for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages. We will explain this whole idea of the masses needing to support the Talmidei Chachamim. To be continued.